Well, it's good to be with you again this evening. It's good to look out and see the number that's present and to take part in the singing as we've just done. Every time I come here, I believe Eastside has some of the best singing in this county. And you get carried away with the singing, as I did tonight, and you find out how old you are when you start having to catch your breath. But it's good to be here and to look out at the number that is present and to know that as I look out that for the most part, I'm looking at brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the family of God, and those who have manifested their faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to the gospel, which we said yesterday was the power of God unto salvation. And having done so, they have the hope of eternal life that is available only in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. And he said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and turn there if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul stresses the need here to continue in the gospel, to continue to stand in the gospel. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And so Paul is saying that they had received the gospel, and as long as they keep in memory what he has taught, and they stand in the gospel, they have that hope of eternal life. Now, each of us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, acknowledge God as our Father. And hopefully, we are striving to do His will. Remembering the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Now, when you think about the will of the Father, one of the things that should come to mind is it is the will of the Father that we listen to His Son, Jesus Christ. For it is He who speaks to us today. The Hebrew writer makes that clear in Hebrews chapter 1. And though the passages may be familiar, let's turn there, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Now, when one reads this, he needs to understand that God has revealed His will through no other means to people today than Jesus Christ. It is only through Him. It is only through Christ that speaks to us today. And when we think about that, it is only through this book that we find His teaching. And we know that when we look over in John chapter 14, when He was getting ready to leave or be put to death and would be with the disciples no more, in John chapter 14 and verse 26, notice what He tells them. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. And then over in the 16th chapter of John, and in verse 13, He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And of course, as we've mentioned yesterday, that Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. And we know by reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So it is through this book that Jesus Christ speaks to us today. It is through this book that we know what God's will is. Now, we've mentioned several times in the lessons before that it is important to listen to what God has to say. It is important that we show the respect that is necessary for the Word of God. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, there is, after a discourse that the Scripture has given in a contrast to false and true prophets, the Lord makes this statement in verse 30. He says, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor." Now, what that tells us is that God is against false teaching. False teaching that will steal His words from His children. And God's people throughout the Bible have always had to face false teachers. They always, throughout the Bible, were continually departing from God. And one of the reasons that they were departing from God was they was listening to false teachers who were teaching things that were contrary to God's Word. Now, there are many today who are being led away by teaching of false teachers, who are teaching things that are contrary to what God has told us in His Word. And in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus gives us a very stern warning. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, we'll come back to that in just a little while. But there are those people today that you would talk to who claim to receive a direct revelation from God. In other words, what they're saying is that God has spoken unto them in some mysterious way, revealing something to them that He has not said in His Word, that one cannot find in the Bible. Now, the Mormon faith, for one, is based on this premises. It is based on the fact that a heavenly messenger was sent to Joseph Smith sometime in the 1800s and prepared him to translate some what was called gold plates. And thus, they said, here is another gospel, and they produced the Book of Mormons. Now, a lot of people are being deceived by that teaching, not regarding at all what Paul has written in the Galatian letter in chapter 1. Turn to Galatians chapter 1 and notice what Paul says here about another gospel. Beginning in verse 6, he said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say now I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." I had a first-hand example, or at least maybe a second-hand, you would call it. My wife works in the courthouse, and I mentioned that the other day, or did work, in the clerk's office. And there was a girl that worked in there with her that she was very close friends with. And she had been divorced, and she was okay as she was, but if she went to marry someone, she needed to make sure that that person was right or had the right to marry. And she was concerned when she kind of fell in love with this person and got to talking, and she told my wife one day, "We're going to get married." And my wife asked her, said, "Now, listen, you know that you don't have a right to marry this man from what you told me." She said, "Well, I've worried about that, and I've just thought about that." Well, Margaret said, "You need to think some more. You need to give it some very serious thought." Well, it was maybe a week later, she came in and she said, "Well, I think it's okay now. I've got my answer." Well, Margaret said, What has convinced you that you're okay to marry this person?" She said, "Well, last night while we were going through rehearsals and I was standing here and other people were standing in for me," she said, "just all of a sudden God spoke to me and told me, don't worry. You have a right. It's okay." And Margaret replied, "Well, that's hard for me to believe because the Scriptures tells us that God is no respecter of persons. That with Him there's no partiality. And He's told you something that He hadn't told me. I don't know it, and other people don't know it. And the point is, God doesn't speak to anyone today except through His Son, except through the Word that we have here that the apostles wrote by the inspiration of God. And we know that this is truth." Now, there are people today who think that they can just trust any preacher or any religious teacher. And they'll accept whatever that preacher or teacher teaches as truth. And in discussing it with them, most time you'll hear something like, "Well, my preacher said so and so." Well, I'm not interested in what your preacher said. And you should be interested in more than just what your preacher said. What I'm interested in is, what does God say about this subject? And I have always made reference that anything that I teach or preach, and you're trying to convince somebody, don't say, "My preacher said that." Say, "Here's what God says. Open up your Bibles and show him or them the teaching of God on that subject." Now, let me ask you this question, and you think about it, and be honest with your answer. Are you really aware, and are you concerned about false teachers today that exist? Have you ever given it into thought? Are you concerned at all about that? Are you just sitting back and taking anything that is said just on face value, just listening to the person? If you aren't aware and concerned about false teachers, and on the alert for those that might teach error, and have a knowledge of the Bible enough to be able to discern if it's truth or not, going to the Word, as we'll mention in a moment, to examine that, then you should be. You need to be. Because one cannot help but notice today the huge diversity of teaching that exists in our world, in our society, in the religious world today, which suggests that there are a whole lot of people being misled by teaching that is not from God. In this world today, there are millions of people who profess to be followers of Christ, and they are divided into what we might say hundreds of denominations, and each denomination bears a name that's different from the other denomination, and each denomination teaches something that's a little different from the other denomination. And each and all of them are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, why is that? Why is it that there's this great number that just does not seem to be listening to what God has said? Well, one of the reasons, of course, is a lack of knowledge. Many Christians today who have been Christians for years are very limited in the knowledge they have of what the Bible teaches. You know, Peter instructs us in 2 Peter chapter 3, turn there if you will, and notice what he says about the importance of growing as we should as Christians. 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse 17, He said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." Peter had several things to say about growth. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Now, later Peter, we just read, says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But he says, when you obey the gospel at the beginning, as newborn babes, to begin that growth, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow. And then you find the Hebrew writer in the 5th chapter showing the importance of not remaining in that state of a babe desiring the sincere milk. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. Okay. "For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so it's important that you have a knowledge that begins as a babe listening to what God says. And the more you study His Word, you begin to grow. And eventually, you are able to take the meat of the teaching and you begin to grow more in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that's one reason that many people are following false teaching is that they fail to follow this instruction. Too many times people obey the gospel and they say, "Okay, I'm a Christian," and they find their seat in the pew and that's it. And the Lord is not pleased with that, and we must not convince ourselves that He is. The other reason that so many are being led away is the subtlety of false teaching that is presented. Sometimes a teacher will take the Word of God and he will use it in such a way to misrepresent the truth. Subtly, it appears to be biblical on the face, and yet it will pull those souls that aren't knowledgeable, those unwary souls, away from the faith. And that's why that I say so many times, and other preachers, I'm sure, emphasize the need to be knowledgeable of God's Word. Many today, and sadly some Christians, will test teaching by, number one, how it sounds, or maybe by the eloquence of the speaker, or maybe whether or not it tickles their ears, as Paul talked about, some would be turned from the gospel and look for teachers, having itching ears. A lot of times this is how they test teaching. But Paul tells them, warns us of that happening, and I want you to notice something that Paul says himself concerning the eloquence of speaking. If you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul, in emphasizing that certainly is not what we are to put our emphasis upon, notice what he says, beginning in verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I say with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul puts the statement to us that the eloquency of a speaker should not determine whether we like him or don't like him. If he's preaching the truth, we listen to him and we base what we believe that he teaches on the truth. If he's an eloquent speaker, fine. But if he's not, you listen to him just the same. If he's preaching that which needs to be preached. Now, John tells us the correct thing that needs to be used in testing the teaching of somebody. Over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. John says in the first verse, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, John here gives us a warning with reference to false teachers, which abounded then, and they are abounding today. And the sense of the admonition when you read that is refrain from believing every teacher that comes to you claiming to be from God or claiming to preach sound doctrine. Rather, you try, some translations say, or test them. There was a great necessity of critical assessment of spiritual teaching then, and there is that same critical assessment needed today. The word try that is used in verse 1 means to prove or to examine. And the term is used sometimes as gold that is put in the fire to test whether or not it's pure. Paul uses the same expression in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 when he said, "Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good." Now today, we have the completed will of God. James refers to it as the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1 and verse 25. And the only way today to test or try someone's teaching is to put it to test against the pure, unadulterated Word of God that is revealed in the Bibles that we have here. And when I stand before you and speak, or anyone stands before you and speaks, claiming to proclaim the Word of God, the only way that you'll know it, the only way you'll know that I'm teaching the truth, is if you examine the Scriptures to see that that is so. And if you find, when you examine the Scriptures, that I am teaching the truth, I am teaching the Word of God, and you know this, that I am teaching this because you have referenced your Bibles to what I'm teaching, then you know I'm preaching the truth, that I am being guided by the words of the Holy Spirit, not in some miraculous way, but by the Scriptures that the prophets wrote down by inspiration and provided for us. But if you cannot find what I am teaching, and if I continue to teach what I'm teaching, and this is important now, after every effort has been made in love to turn me away from that which I'm teaching, showing me in the Scriptures that I'm teaching error, but I do not pay attention to you, and this is after all efforts have been put forth in love to show one that, then am I not a false teacher? And if not, why not? Now think about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul has something to say about what we need to do with those that are teaching error. Beginning in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. Now what that tells me is that if there's someone teaching and they do not change their way, what they're teaching, their teaching error, then I must withdraw from them. I must not have any fellowship with them. And there are three phrases in that chapter, in that verse that we just read, which talks about what we should look for. Number one, wholesome words. Number two, words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, the doctrine according to godliness. Now, he's teaching that. He's teaching truth. And that's what we need to look for. And there's another passage that sometimes is very controversial. But look in 2 John. In 2 John, beginning with verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come anyone unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now when I read that verse, or those verses, that tells me that I am not to have any fellowship with such a person. And to do so, I become a partaker of his evil deeds. Now I realize in verse 7 that John said, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." And there are those people today who want to limit verses 9 on down that we read to only that type of false teaching. But I clearly see what's said here, that he says, whosoever transgresseth not, whosoever transgresseth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And if there come anyone, verse 10, anyone unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. And I think that what is said here is those who do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, who are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, and you have done all that you can to turn them away from their error and turn them toward truth, and they will not do so, then you have no fellowship with them. Now, I know if some have any questions about that, you might want to study on that, but that's what I see out of that. Well, let me tell you something, and this is important. And I want you to remember it. If you hear that someone is preaching doctrine or error, well, let's just say me. You hear somebody say, "Well, do you know that Bobby Hudson is speaking error? He's teaching false doctrine." The first thing you do is you go to Bobby Hudson and you ask him, "Are you teaching this or this or this?" You don't go to your neighbor and tell it. You don't go to your best friend and tell it. You don't let it begin to spread like rumors. You, the teacher, the Scriptures teach, must go to him to see if indeed that is what is being taught. And I really believe that Matthew chapter 18 fits in this, that it's applicable here. Turn with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 18. And I think it kind of speaks of what I'm trying to say here. In Matthew 18, beginning with verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." He goes on and says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." And that's why I say you go to the person first that you hear maybe or is teaching error. Now, though discrimination is something that our nation frowns upon, and we certainly should not discriminate racially or socially, but John teaches here in these verses, I must discriminate doctrinally. I must discriminate doctrinally by testing the teaching that I am hearing. I must learn to discern between truth and error. Many today, knowing that somebody is teaching false doctrine, continue to listen to them. But I would advise you, in fact, I was talking to a brother not too long ago who said he just loved to turn the TV on when the evangelist was on that was teaching false doctrine and error and just listen to them. And I told him, there's a danger in that. Don't do that because you may be diverted from the path of truth. Though you may think you are sound, though you may think you wouldn't, don't do that. Now, some people may have different ideas about that. But that's what I believe we should do. We should steer as far away from false teaching as we possibly can. Paul, when he was talking to the elders at Ephesus or from Ephesus, he tells them to take heed. And I want us to look over at Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over that which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Now Paul tells them there's two dangers that you need to watch out for. One is that men from abroad are going to come in. He describes them as grievous wolves. And they're not going to spare the flock. In other words, they're going to teach them and cause them to follow them. The second thing he warns them about, he says that some will arise from among yourselves speaking things to draw people away. That's why today elders of a congregation need to be on the alert. Always be aware of who you have, who takes a public part, maybe preaching or teaching or whatever. If someone new comes into the congregation and all of a sudden they're getting all the attention and so forth, the elders just need to be aware of the responsibility that you have to make sure that those that are among the flock are those who are truly following the Lord and not in some way, privately or publicly, teaching something that could lead others away or lead some away from this congregation. Satan desires to have those who are walking on the pathway of faith. He wants to take them and to get them off of that pathway that of faith. He wants to be able to divert them away. And he'll use any method that he has at his disposal to do so. And one of those methods is that of false teaching. The doctrines, as we said yesterday, that are devised by man. The people of God have always been plagued with false doctrine. Satan attempts to confuse the world by drowning them in a world of deceit. And he would like nothing more to be able to deceive you and to win you over to him. Stop and think a minute. It was Satan's misrepresentation of the truth and Eve's acceptance of what He said and succumbing to what He said that plunged the human race into sin. And the steady stream of false teaching that exists today has never been so cumulative. It is wider and deeper than it has ever been. As we talked yesterday, that's one of the directions that our nation is taking. More and more false teachers are teaching error, and more people continue to follow Him. We said at the very beginning that Jesus said, "You'll know the false teacher by his fruit." And basically what Jesus is saying there, you'll know a false teacher by his teaching. You'll also be able to discern one as a false teacher, I believe, by observing the lifestyle or the life that they live. Too many fail to take the time to see what is being taught is found in God's Word. And that's why today you have many that believe the doctrine of faith only saves. That's why you have today many people that believe the teaching of once saved, always saved. That's why you have people today who believe the teaching of the direct revelation doctrine. That's why many people believe the false teaching concerning women being preachers and taking an active part and being deaconesses and so on. All of these things exist because people do not have enough knowledge of the Bible to see that those things are error, or they just don't care. It's basically that simple. And if you read the Bible at all and study it at all, you know that God warns us that whatever thoughts and whatever teachings and whatever practices do not originate with Him, then they are not present or eternally good for us. Galatians chapter 1 that we read a moment ago is one. Paul warned them about following another gospel. That didn't originate with God. What Paul was teaching against was that which originated with man. Too many have turned away from the faith and left the church because of false teaching. Those that have done so, that once were faithful, have turned and gone back into the world, are among those who boast of being what we would call progressive, or contemporary, or not legalistic, not bound, they'll say, by the old ways. But let me tell you, they argue their cause under the popular banner of freedom and of love, but whatever the religious progressive argues, you can chalk it up. He always ends up with a human standard. He always ends up with a human creed formed in the minds of men, which Jesus condemned in Matthew 15 and verse 9 when He talked about those that worshiped in vain and taught because they teach as doctrine the commandments of men. The child of God's concern is to go to heaven and to help others to go there. We want to go to heaven. And to do that, the Bible tells us, as we've read, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. And how do you do that? Well, let me just tell you something. Let your mind concentrate for a moment on that word abide. That word abide means a place where you stay. In other words, if you want to go to heaven, stay in the doctrine of Christ. And the child of God who truly wants to have that eternal reward that Peter talked about as being incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, will stay in the teaching of Christ. He will make that his permanent place. And he will also listen to Peter's instructions in 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. beginning in verse 5. Well, let's just begin reading with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of sin that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall not neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. We need to keep those words in mind. We need to take the advice, all of the advice that God gives us in His Word. Because false teachers are going to be among us for a long time. They're going to always be here. So we must be, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, grounded in the faith. In fact, let's turn and read that passage. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23, he said, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to you, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice he said, if you continue grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that must be our position. And one of the reasons, of course, is we want to go to heaven. And another reason to abide by that is we want to be able to rightly discern false teaching and to mark them and to avoid them. And Jude 3 tells us we must always earnestly contend for the faith that which was once delivered unto the saints. You listen patiently. I hope the lesson has been beneficial to you. If there's anyone here tonight who needs to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has told us that if we believe that Jesus Christ is His Son and are willing to make that confession before this assembly, repenting of our sin, be buried in the waters of baptism, then we can begin a walk in a new life as we come up out of that watery grave with our sins forgiven and our hope of heaven as a part of our life. But if you're here and you have obeyed but have not lived your life in the teaching of the Lord, that there's some characteristics about your life that do not harmonize with the teaching of the Lord, please do not minimize that. Please do not minimize that you think that, well, I can put this off, or I have so much time that I can make this confession. Make the confession of your sin tonight before this assembly, and knowing that God, and we'll pray with you to God to forgive you, knowing that He'll do so if your repentance is truly from the heart. We have that promise made to us in the Scriptures. And so, if we don't make it to heaven, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So if you need to respond, will you do so as we stand and sing the song that's been mentioned?